Accession number 12712, Mr. S. Barker, Reel 1.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 1. Where and when were you born, Mr. Barker?
I was born in a little village called Bishop Middleham, which is between Sedgefield and Firry Hill in County Durham.
What was the area like that you were born into?
Well, very countrified area altogether.
What did your father do?
My father was a joiner in a local quarry.
Was it hard work?
Yes, he was building what were called bogies, which entailed making large timber frames. It was quite heavy work.
Did your mother work?
No, she didn't work.
What family did you have?
I had one sister.
Is she younger or older?
She was 2 years younger than I am.
Did your father earn very much in the way of money?
No, he at that time was earning 37 shillings and sixpence per week.
And could you live comfortably on that?
Not comfortably, no. I would say we were just struggling.
The house you lived in, can you describe it?
Yes, it was a one bedroom and one living room downstairs only. We had to travel about 20 yards up an alleyway to get to a dirt toilet.
This would be the earth closet?
Earth closet, yes.
And this would be in a street, was it not?
Well, there were only two houses by themselves in this particular area.
The people of Bishop Middleham, what were they like?
Well, quite a lot of them worked in the local limestone quarries. A few worked at a local colliery, Mainsforth Colliery.
So would you describe it as a typical working class area?
Very much so, yes.
Were they tough people, hard people?
Quite hard people, yes.
And your own relationships with your neighbours and so forth, were they good?
Very good indeed, yes.
In which ways did it show itself?
Well, everyone was always quite sociable with you.
At what age did you go to school?
From 5 years old till I was 14.
And which was your first school?
It was in Bishop Middleham. It was a Church of England school.
Have you got memories of it?
Very little now.
And you'd stay there till what age?
Till I was 14 year old.
What was the discipline like in school?
Discipline was very good, yes. The headmaster was quite a disciplinarian.
So the cane was used?
Yes, it was.
Do you have any recall on the kind of lessons that you were having?
Just basic reading, writing, arithmetic. By the time I got to the last stages, we were beginning to learn algebra. That was as far as it got.
Looking back, did you feel that it was a good education?
Yes, a good basic education, yes.
Did you have any examinations or tests to sit?
Just what we would call the 11 plus, similar to the 11 plus, which was a test for going on to grammar schools, etc., you know. But I didn't pass for that.
In your home, were you able to be reasonably well clothed and fed?
Yes, reasonably well fed, yes, and clothed, yes.
What leisure activities did you get into as a child in the area you lived in?
Mainly playing football and cricket. A schoolboy, cricket and football.
And was this in a school team?
Yes, and I eventually got it. I played for Spennymoor Boys for the area against Manchester Boys in one particular instance in the English Cup in the Brewery Field in Spennymoor.
How did you get on?
We lost. They were so much bigger than we were.
Would you say then that you had a happy childhood?
Very, yes, very.
When you left school, what did you do?
I eventually got a job at the local quarry, of which an uncle of mine was the manager. And in a way, it was a very poor job, inasmuch as that all I had to do was, when men were firing shots, blasting the limestone, I had to sound a bugle and stop any traffic that was using the road nearby.
And was that a particular call or just one blast?
Well, as I'd been in the Boy Scouts, I had learned to blow a bugle a little there.
You said that eventually you got a job. Was it difficult to get work?
It was. I tried at the local colliery and couldn't get on there because so many boys leaving school at that time were applying for work at the colliery.
What year would this be?
This would be in late 1933.
How much were you paid for your bugle job?
No, it'd be late 30.
Do you recall your wage?
My first pay was 3 6 for a week.
And what hours did you work for that?
8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night.
Was that 6 days a week?
Yes, yes.
You work Saturdays?
Yes.
How again then did you use your leisure time? What leisure time you had?
Well, mainly going at the weekend, on a Saturday, say, I would go to the local cinema, which was at Furry Hill, which meant a walk of 3 miles there, and then a walk 3 miles home after the film. That was my main leisure activity, other than sport.
Did you remain with the quarry?
Well, after I'd been there about a year, the depression came into the area, and I moved to a quarry at Ferry Hill Station, where my father actually worked as the joiner, and I worked there doing the same thing there, warning people when there were shots being fired, and I worked there till late in 1933, when I was finished then because of the depression. And I, being out of work, I had to attend an unemployment centre at Bishop Auckland.
How did you get from your home to these places?
Using a bicycle.
Did your wage advance in those over those years?
Just slightly. I think I'd be earning about 7 shillings by the time I was made, well, not made redundant, but finished.
Quarry work was always considered to be quite dangerous. Were there accidents whilst you were there?
Oh, yes, several.
Mm-hmm. How did they tend to come about?
Well, I think mainly with workmen being so used to explosives that they treated with contempt, really, and they suffered for it. And then also not using safety ropes when working on high points. Have falls.
You mentioned that the depression came along and you yourself lost your job. Was this the effect throughout the community?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was quite a lot of people became unemployed at that particular time, 1933.
What effect was it having on families?
Well, I can hardly say how it would be affect them.
How did it affect you?
Well, lack of having money to spend was one thing. Knowing that my mother and father had to keep me, and that was how, in the end, while attending Bishop Auckland Unemployment Centre, I went next door to the Territorial Centre and asked if I could join up.
Before we come to that, you were attending the Employment Centre. What kind of thing were they doing with you there?
They were teaching sort of things like metalwork and small things to do with cars, you know, repairs on cars.
Trying to give you new skills.
Yes. Mm.
Did you join the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade or any
yes.
of those bodies?
I was in the Boy Scouts at Bishop Middleham.
What age were you when you joined?
I think I would be 11 when I joined the Boy Scouts originally.
How were you received into the unit? What kind of thing did they do for you
in
the Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts. Well, we used to enjoy ourselves going to camp, going away off to camp, and getting used to the outdoor life.
Did you have a uniform?
Yes.
What did that take?
Well, that was like a jersey. Short trousers, lanyard, and kerchief, and woggle, as they call it, and hat, yes, a scout Stetson type.
Did you have to buy that yourself?
Our parents had to, yes.
So your parents had to find the money for the
yes,
uniform.
Yes.
Were you able to get it all at once, or did you get it over a period of time?
Yeah, just get it over a period of time.
So you'd buy a piece and then
yes,
wear that until
yes,
the next piece
that's
came?
That's right, yes.
How did you take to the discipline of the Scouts?
Oh, I enjoyed it. enjoy the gymnastics. And as I say, I also enjoyed the camping discipline.
Do you recall where you went to camp?
Pardon?
Do you recall where you went to camp?
Well, some small villages near Darlington. I can't remember the name now. Quite near to Aycliffe, actually. But I just can't remember the name.
Did you have to drill, learn some form of drill?
Yes, yes. We had to do church parades on several Sundays, and of course we had to learn the drill for that. And by learning to be a bugler, we were in the sort of bugle band of the group.
Did the scouts provide you with the bugle? You did, or did you find that yourself?
Yes, no, the group supplied it.
Were you asked to blow the bugle, or did you volunteer?
Just volunteered, yes.
You said that you'd lost your job and you were going to the training centre, and you went to join the army because of the fact you could see no future. Is that?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Were your friends joining up?
No, there was nobody that I knew that was joining up. No.
Did your parents know you were going to join up?
No, they didn't know.
So they didn't find out until you'd actually done it?
Yes, that was all right.
You went to the army centre next door. What did you do exactly?
I said, could I join the army? And whoever the person was in charge said, the best thing you can do is go to Durham, to the recruiting office there. So off I went. And the officer said, what do you want? I said, I would like to join the army. And he said, how old are you? He said, so I said, I was 17 year old. He said, well, you're too young. And he said, I'll walk along the river. And I went back. He said, how old are you? I said, I was 18 year old. So I signed on the dotted line.
What date was this?
This was the 17th of January, 1934.
You signed, when you say you signed on the dotted line, what exactly did you do?
Well, it's hard for me to recollect this, but as far as I can recollect, I signed paper to say that I was enlisting in the army. And received, I think it was 2 shillings for signing on. And I was sent to Newcastle, to Fenham Barracks that night.
Is that all? You didn't get a medical in the centre, did you?
Not that I can recollect, no.
So if you were sent to Fenham Barracks that night, what was the shock to your parents when you got back home?
Well, I didn't get home for a certain length of time, but I wrote and told them that I'd joined the army.
So they didn't know that you'd gone into the army that day, and did not wonder whether you'd got to.
They did, yes.
Had you had an urge for the military life at all?
Not really, no. No. Just come over me that it was something to do where I would be assured of a regular pay, in other words.
What was your parents' reaction then when they ultimately heard where you were and what you were doing?
I heard later that they were dumbfounded when they found out.
Had they no inclination where you were?
No.
Not worried about you?
They were certainly worried, yes.
But they didn't. Did they mind when they got over the dumbfounded feelings? Did they mind you being in the forces?
They didn't mind. No.
So you went to Fenham Barracks. How were you received at the unit?
Well, the first thing that I realised was that the discipline in the scouts had nothing on the regular army or the training centre for the army.
You would arrive at the gate.
Yes.
Were you on your own then? You were still on your own?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when they took you in, was there some form of, again, signing forms, or was there some reception?
It was just a reception, and you were rushed to a stores to be issued with a kit, and then shown to a barrack room where you were given a bed for the night.
What kit did they issue with?
Well, this is difficult to remember. Kit bag, blankets, sheets, and the regular kit of razor comb, lather brush, button stick, button brush, socks. That's all I can remember at the moment.
Did you get your full uniform on that visit to the stores?
No.
The barrack block that you took you to, did it have a name?
The room was given the name AIN Squad. A-I-S-N-E.
And that would be named after what?
After a battle honour.
Was the full squad there when you got there? Was it complete?
No, no.
So what did you do while this was going on?
The following day this would be, there would be several of us there, and other recruits were coming in all the time. In fact, as I would be about the fifth or sixth one in that particular squad. And the squad would be about 30 strong.
How long would it take to get to that strength?
Just a matter of 2 to 3 days.
And in those 2 or 3 days, whilst you were in that situation, were you given things to do?
Not that I can remember. Yeah. No, I can't remember that.
Can you describe the barrack block you were in, Mr. Barker?
Yes, it was a block with a central entrance, with stairs leading up, with rooms leading up both left and right, barrack rooms, and my squad was on the second floor, on the left.
And there'd be a number of these barrack blocks around the square or around the area in some formation?
Well, for the Durhams, they only had this one big block of 3 stories, which would involve about 6 barrack rooms.
Were the barracks shared with another unit?
And the Northumberland Fusiliers had their share of barrack rooms as well.
How many people would sleep to a room?
Approximately 30.
And what did you sleep on?
Well, it was a metal pull-out bed, and you used what were known as biscuits. Sort of a coir material filled into some hard material cover, and there were 3 of those per bed, with a couple of linen sheets and say, three blankets.
Did your beds have to be made up in a certain manner?
It had to be made up with the three biscuits, one on top of the other. Your one blanket, then a sheet, then another blanket, and then a sheet with one blanket wrapped around it, those.
And that had to be done every morning after you got out of bed?
Yes.
At what time of the day were you able to pull your beds down and make them ready for sleeping?
Approximately 5 o'clock at night.
Where did you keep your uniforms and your clothing and your utensils?
Above the bed was a metal locker, and most of the utensils were kept in there. Your drinking mug, your shaving gear, things like socks and so on. And under the locker were pegs for you to hang your uniform on.
And were the lockers locked?
Yes, you had a lock.
Did you have many problems from things being stolen or taken?
No, I never had any problems, no.
Can you describe the other aspects of the room? You've got 30 beds or thereabouts, you've got your lockers. What else was there in the room?
There would be a metal stove, and in front of that there would be a metal bucket for to keep coal in. And then there would be a long wooden scrubber for scrubbing the floor with. I think that's all I can remember of.
Tables and chairs, were any of those present?
There was a table, but no chairs. Two forms.
How was it all kept clean?
Was scrubbed regularly with the bath brick and scrubber.
And were certain jobs allocated to men in the billets to do?
Yes, some would have to clean the windows, some have to clean the stove, several would be cleaning the floor every morning.
How clean was it kept? What was the standard of cleanliness?
It was at an excellent standard, I would say, yes.
Were there kind of tricks to get things clean?
Not that I can think of, no. Certain other items, there were tricks, like cleaning your boots.
The heating was one stove. Mm-hmm. Was that adequate for the building?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Winter and summer?
Yes.
And you said there was a bucket with coal and coke. Was there any kind of arrangement that had to be for inspection purposes?
Yes. That had to be kept. The outside had to be kept black.
This was polished. The stove and the bucket?
Yes.
Ablutions, what form did they take?
Well, outside on the stairways there were toilets and washrooms, which were just basic bowls set into the wall with a cold water tap above it.
Do you recall how many of these basins were available for the unit?
I can't recall exactly, but I think there would be about four for the room.
And these would have to be kept clean?
Yes, most spotlessly clean.
And the whole would be inspected, how often?
Inspected every day.
And who did that?
the sergeant in charge of the squad, the trainee who was training the squad.
Was there an NCO that lived and slept with you?
There was a Lance Corporal, always slept in the room. And then there was a full corporal and a sergeant who slept outside the room.
How often did the officer inspect the barrack block?
He would perhaps inspect once a week. But the sergeant did every day.
Was there a competitive element between your own squads and others in this cleanliness?
Oh, yes, indeed there was.